It's very interesting what Alejandro was saying about artists' relationship to their precursors. That's something I've been thinking a lot about recently. Maybe his talk will presage my own. This image behind me perhaps will represent my approach to most things, this talk included, which will be a peregrination between various conclusions, some of them half-formed. This is from a series of works called Assembly Instructions, which are large installations of drawings connected with little lines. The collages inside these IKEA frames are black and white photocopies from various sources, including Flickr, encyclopedias, what we might deem high and low culture. But when placed on the photocopier glass, they're sort of fused together to become this one logical system. Now, this piece, which you're seeing right now, is called Tangential Logic. It's about how ideas are put together in the mind of someone who's high or somebody who's dreaming. The conclusion of this particular piece was the right-hand wall, which was the analysis of a dream or how a dream might be created if one had just eaten an orange. This work, like many of my works, is about creating something that has an internal truth to it, a cosmogony, a sort of logical system in which things become true because of the structure which I've created. Now, here's another structure, which is the university lecture or performance lecture. It's very fashionable now. With two overhead projectors and these same images from the same series that are projected up on the wall. This one is about IKEA, and the starting point is rather simple. From going to Red Hook quite often, I started thinking about the rooms that are upstairs on the second floor and how they reminded me of the Renaissance art of memory palaces, hermeticism and all that. This image, for example, is from the collages, and it's imagining the entirety of human knowledge being encoded in these seemingly arbitrary arrangements of doors and towels and so on and so forth. Now, this, like many of the assembly instructions, are rather whimsical, one might deem perhaps puerile ideas that I've decided to encode in these systems. Here we are back again to the IKEA work on the wall. Naturally, the lecture has a, more of a storytelling element to it. It begins relating facts in a perhaps dry and seemingly simple way, very much like this drawing, but quickly becomes anecdotal, and then the anecdotes turn into anecdotes about anecdotes, dreams into dreams. The manuscript found at Saragosse, a novel by Potocki, was very influential in the lecture. Here is another kind of academic lecture where I have the overhead projector, but with the arm removed, and all I'm placing on the glass is monochromatic colours. So I begin telling a series of interrelated and interwoven stories. The title of this project is The Alkahest. Alkahest was a substance which alchemists and hermeticists were searching for, like the lapis philosophorum, which was deemed a universal solvent, that is to say, a substance which any other substance could be dissolved into. And this, for me, was an analogy for the way I like to tell stories. In this universe, time and space and geography are all interrelated. So we're in the jungles of Papua New Guinea, talking to Molière. Meanwhile, the Second World War is happening. We go through a door and we appear in Kurt Schwitters' basement, where Kurt Schwitters is making a golem, a figure of himself. And so a lot of the imagery that we might associate with things like Wagner, Pinocchio, popular culture is all being melded together into one. And for me, the starting point was very much Homer. How could I tell stories for 3.5 hours? How could I create a very structured visual world using just language and just use just my words? And of course, some special effects. Here I am stirring the alkahest as it's made. Think the Sorcerer's Apprentice, Fantasia, things like that. Here is another kind of structure. It's called The Mark of the Third Stripe. It's this book here. It's also a series of exhibitions and a video. It's a story that takes place in a universe where time and geography are inverted, where Europe is the new world populated by the white savages and America is the old world, and which time seems to go backwards. Therefore, the contemporary society is described as being rather primitive. The frightening past is described as being originating in geometrical abstraction, which is equated with great evil. Now, the story is a novella, a Faustian tale in which Adi Dassler, the founder of the Adidas shoe company, plays the role of Faust. And it's communicated to the audience through a synesthetic film, a film in which I've taken English words and concepts and translated them into patterns of black and white squares, which make up the 1,000 or so pages of this book. And here are some of their definitions. The symbols are often pictographic, representative, or sometimes they allude via sort of internal logic to each other. The one on the left is Europe, European continent, and it talks about the New World. The one on the right here says, even, when each part is absolutely equal, the whole is greater. And throughout this entire dictionary, there are allusions to a sort of a dark, twisted vision of the world through shoes, Celtic mythology, the symbology of three, shopping, sacrifice. In this universe, the Faust-like character is not corrupted by the Judeo-Christian Satan, but by a personification of gravity itself that, like Satan, lives at the center of the earth and that makes people tired by creating gravity, by creating time, and is described as the enemy of architects, of sportsmen, of athletes, and obviously the protagonist of this story. Now, there are many visual motifs that recur throughout the story. Of course, we have three stripes, Adidas, we have the grid, and we also have the waffle, which rather playfully and perhaps silly of me, I've tried to talk about very seriously, taking this rather ridiculous object, placing it on the wall like an abstract sculpture, and bring it into the cosmogony of the story. At the beginning of this book is a series of essays formatted like Wikipedia, so immediately one questions whether they are really accurate. This one is about the Lindow Man, who was a Celtic sacrificial victim discovered in Wilmslow, Cheshire, in England, in the 1980s, apparently by two joggers. At this point, the sort of facts and truth start to mix together, very much like Diderot's encyclopedia. Speaking of Diderot, I'm fascinated with people like him and Aristophanes, satirists who talked about their own context in a very fantastical and imaginative way. This piece is called The School for Objects Criticized. Its title derives or alludes to a piece by Molière, the French 17th century playwright, called The School for Wives Criticized, in which Mr. Molière decided to respond to criticisms of his previous piece by placing a group of people on stage talking about his theatre. This is a very similar exercise in which I have a group of ready-made sculptures with speakers inside who assemble at a dinner or waiting to go out to a benefit and begin to discuss a work called The School for Objects by a certain Mr. Singh, which is myself, which they utterly despise, apart from one person who stands up for it. And they begin talking about this and the art that's being made nowadays. They talk about things that are very pertinent to the New York art world, but their discussions, very much like my collages, take these vertiginous twists and turns. And soon we're talking about God and theology and what if Satan was a contemporary artist and so on and so forth. I wonder what slide comes up next. Oh, yes, the next project, well, moving from into the utterly theatrical, the next project that I'm working on is a play inspired by the mechanisms of Greek ancient comedy called The Humans, inspired by Aristophanes, which takes place before the creation of the world in a Genesis-like universe in which we have two rival spirits, the spirit of Charles Ray, who is the Apollonian god of this universe, who has been tasked by an unseen figure to create the eponymous human beings, and by a large chocolate Nesquik rabbit, who is a fecal-obsessed creature whose role is to fecundate the world sexually and also with manure. And the mountain at the center creates this very strong dichotomy between these two universes, Apollonian and Dionysian. And this story is about taking the idea of Genesis and many creation myths, such as the Greek myth of Pandora, and rather than having positive action create the corrupting act, it's a negative action. The human beings in this universe are corrupted because they are taught to shit for the first time, and thus having excreted, they are never satisfied because they're always missing a part of themselves. Thank you.